Hello, everybody. This is Worlds of Books. Today is August 16th, 2022. And tonight we're discussing the book Lightning Strike by William Kent Krueger. We've discussed a couple of his other books before, This Tender Land and maybe Ordinary Grace. I really like this author. I have to confess, I've not read many in this, or maybe not even any in this Cork O'Connor series, but
I read them all.
okay. Well, Deanna's the expert. This one came up and you know, recently, and I saw that it was kind of a prequel. So I thought, okay, if anybody is series bound, they only believe in reading series in order, this shouldn't mess anything up, because it goes back to the early 60s when Cork O'Connor's like 12 years old, and it's gives you his backstory kind of, I guess. So it shouldn't mess anybody up. I read the Wikipedia article on William Kent Krueger. He was born in 1950, November of 1950. So he's 71 going on 72. And he currently lives in St. Paul, Minnesota. Which is not surprising, since I think a lot of his books are set in Minnesota. And he said his favorite book is To Kill a Mockingbird, which doesn't surprise me, I guess. And that in the mystery genre, he's most influenced by Tony Hillerman, who I think I've read a book by Tony Hillerman. I've not read a lot of his stuff. And then James Lee Burke, who I think probably a lot of y'all have probably read James Lee Burke, but I can't remember who's James Lee Burke's character's name is. He has one guy that he writes a lot about. William Kent Krueger went to Stanford for at least part of his education. I think he was a bit of an activist, and I think he had a falling out with somebody at the school. So I don't think he ever maybe got his degree there. But anyway, that's my information that I've got on William Kent Krueger. If anybody else knows anything about him they'd like to share, jump in. And otherwise, we'll get to discussing the book. So I like his stuff. I mean, This Tender Land was really good, because it was kind of a hook pin kind of story almost, but it had younger people in it, and they were traveling on the river, I think. And I can't remember all the stories, but he does a good job. I like the fact that he does a good job of bringing historical Native American abuses that this country's done to the Native Americans. He does a good job of weaving that kind of stuff into the story, but making the story real interesting while he's giving you a history lesson at the same time. And I like that a lot about the way he writes. And he does a good job of the human relations angles to it, it seems like to me. But anyway, I'm just going to go on through and just call on folks. We've got we got 12 people here right now. So I'm just going to go down the list and call on folks. Let's see. Okay. Well, here's an area code I don't recognize. Area code 716. Who's that?
That's me, Alan. Hi, everyone.
Is that Shelly?
Shelly. Yes. Okay. Oh, yes. Sorry.
Okay. That's all right. Me. I was just going to call you me, but that'll
hi,
work.
Hi, me.
Okay. Well, go, Shelly.
Yes.
You're first.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, I've never, it'll be just a short report.
Okay.
I've never read any books by him before. But I did find this one fascinating. I liked where he, because I've never read the Cork O'Connor series, never even heard of it till you mentioned it. And I liked how he brought this book in to be a prequel, because it goes to show you how Cork O'Connor got started in doing what he was doing.
Yep.
And I really liked that part of the book. And I liked also how the father and son aspect was brought into that as well. And his father got him kind of established and going. And it was kind of a little bit dicey where when he found the guy that was, you know, killed, and they thought it was a suicide. Mm-hmm. At first I did, but then I really thought he was murdered. You just knew. I had a feeling.
Right.
Back in those days, I'm sure it was a lot differently than things are now, but I thought he handled it very well for a kid.
Right.
Overall, it was a very entertaining book. I don't think I would read the other 17 books in the series because I've got, a lot of other ones that I'm doing, but overall, this was a good read.
Good. Well, I highly recommend This Tender Land if you just want to read another standalone by William Kent Kruger. It's excellent.
Yeah, so I did see that.
I think you'd probably like that one. So it's a good one. So.
Okay, good. Yeah, I'll put that on my list. I did see that one mentioned as well. Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you, Shelley. Okay, Deanna.
Well, I did like this. It did touch in the other Kruger Connor books about how much he admired his father and how terrible it was for him to lose his father.
Right.
So taking you back to the time where you got to know who his father was a little bit, kind of put that extra depth to the saga that he lives through.
Right, right.
And he's a complex man, and he is highly influenced by the Native Americans, Sam and Henry, as he grows up, because without a father, they were the ones he turned to when he needed guidance. So his other books...
Yes, I forgot to mention that as well, yeah.
Yeah, his other books cover that relationship to greater depth as they ease him through his 20s and 30s and 40s, and, as the series goes on.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh.
Okay, well, anything else? That's it?
No, it
okay.
Was really cool. And it had many of the touches that characterize his writing style and his character development skill.
Right. Good. All right. Good points. All right. Let's see. Pat DuValle.
Yeah, I thought this book was excellent. I really liked it. I liked it, of course, all of the relationships, the human relations that he covered.
Yeah.
And just the kind of, I guess you could say, differences and conflicts,
right.
With his grandmother and the mother and Liam. And just Liam, was more into knowing about the facts and
right.
Henry and others, and Sam even, what going more with John's spirit, type of thing. And I couldn't really tell until until they got into Svensson and Dr. Dave, and I couldn't really tell for quite a while who really did kill Big John.
Right.
I knew he was murdered, but
yeah.
I couldn't really figure out who murdered him for quite a while.
Yeah, that's how I felt too.
Right.
So that I liked it very much.
And, thank you, Pat. Yeah.
Tom's on with me. He's we're on the same device. So
okay, yeah.
His name wouldn't come up.
I'm not very good with iPhones.
That's all right, Tom. A lot of folks aren't. Yeah. So
I need Pat to run the phone for me.
Right. I got that.
I like the book also. I like the interaction of the two communities. You can understand why Native Americans have a problem with authority and all that, but
yeah. Tell me about it.
And I think the sheriff handled it quite well. He didn't cave into their thoughts, or he just went on the facts until he found out who was involved.
Yeah.
So I thought it was very good.
Yep. Okay. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Michelle Bernstein.
I'm glad you didn't call on me first, because I actually read this book last January. I've read a lot of books between now, January and now.
I understand.
I'm listening to everybody and starting to come back. Right? But I'm not going to have too much to add. I just remember that I really liked the book a lot. I liked the father-son dynamics. I liked, you know, how they brought in the indigenous.
Right.
And I remember that the story just kept me very engrossed the whole time. So I'm mostly just listening today, but you know, I wanted to come and just hear what everybody thought about the book.
Okay. Well, thanks for your comments. And for somebody that that's been, 7 months since they read it, I think you remember more about it than I would have. That's for sure. Yeah. So.
Absolutely.
Okay. All right. And if you decide that something else rings a bell after we've talked,
I will chime in.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Joni Leonard.
Well, I just love this book. I just thought it was so the loyalty among the boys was so good and so touching. And the epilogue where Cork's father is killed. Oh, I sort of knew that was going to happen. I haven't read any of the series. And I wanted to ask Deanna, are the 17 other books on Bard, or where do you get them?
Yeah, they're there.
Excellent.
And how do you find them?
You can just look under his name. That's what I did.
Oh, okay.
I'm sure. Yeah, if you search on William Kent or Kruger, William Kent, and then maybe Cork O'Connor and in parentheses or quotes, I'm sure you'll get hits and stuff. But I'm not sure how you do it with the stream or a blind cell phone. So, okay, well, go ahead.
There's something about William Kent Kruger. I did read Ordinary Grace. And what was the other one that you said? Because I think I read that.
This Tenderland.
Yes, I read both of them. And I remember saying to myself when I read both of the books, this author, I want to read more and more stuff by him.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I did.
Yeah. The problem is there's no time. So many book clubs.
Tell me about it. I'm having the same issue.
Yeah, that's the problem. The time's the issue. Yeah, no doubt about it. Yeah.
And if you stay up all night.
I do. This time.
I do, too.
I have to get
day
some sleep.
During the night. And there's no time for anything. But anyway, in a way, I felt like I was coming home when I started reading it. Because then I remembered that how much I had loved this author. And just the whole way that he handled the differences between the Indians who were so, so mistreated.
Yeah.
And it breaks your heart to think that in 1956, they decided to get the Indians supposedly assimilated.
Mm.
And it's awful.
Yeah.
It's just,
yeah.
So anyway, I guess that's my take on it. I loved it. I want to read more of his books. And trying to get... Well, maybe I can get my sister to go on some site and find out what the books are. Because I don't know if I can do it on the stream. But anyway, thanks for listening to me.
Okay. Well, thanks. I'm glad you enjoyed the book. Excellent. Well,
Tony, did you ever use the search function on the stream? Have you ever used that? You know when you go to the bookshelf to search on Bard?
Yeah.
And you can like do like the most recent books or the most popular books.
Right.
So one of the options, if you go through the different options, one of them is right. to do a search, and you can actually search by name. So like you can type in William Ken Kruger, you could type in Cork O'Connell. I always find HumanWare customer service technical support really helpful, and I would call them, and they can show you how to do it over the phone. That way, if you, in the future, if you don't have the DB number, you just have the author or the title or the main character, you can definitely use the search the same way you can do the website, and then you could search for whatever you want, because that's how I search for things on the stream.
Thank you, Michelle.
The thing.
Yeah,
yeah,
if you just even type
for HumanWare, right?
Yeah, if you type in his last name, I think you'll get them because his last name is spelled oddly. It's K R U E
U E G E R.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, but I would call sometime during the week. I would call and let them walk you through it because they're pretty helpful.
Oh, I know
that. Because it's hard when you just need you always need the DB number. You don't always have it.
Right.
So, I'm sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to mention that.
No, that's all right. Good technical lesson.
Very much
Excellent.
Appreciated.
Okay. Jana Latrell.
Okay. I really liked this book a lot, and I want to read the whole series now. I like the learning about other cultures, and felt like it was interesting how Liam was sort of caught between two worlds and got so much grief from the grandmother. And he was trying to deal with evidence and facts on the one hand, which was what his job was. And he was sort of caught between that and what the Ojibwa tribe knew in their hearts to be true, but he couldn't go just by that. And so I thought that he did a good job of portraying that. And I also liked the relationships with him and his friends, that Jorge was so loyal. They were so loyal to each other. And then Billy Downwind actually attacked him a couple of times. And then they just kind of got up and brushed each other off and were friends again.
Which
I thought was really great. That's kind of how it is with kids, and we sort of forget about that stuff when we get older, I think. Right. So,
yes.
anyway, that's about all, really. But I thought it was a fantastic book. It was a great choice, and I want to read the rest of the series now.
Yeah, I need that. And he's won a couple of. I forgot to mention in my little bio about him, I have to apologize. I'm not familiar with all the different book awards that are out there. I know he's won the Edgar Award, which I think may be some kind of mystery award. And he's won some kind of Anthony Awards for some of these Cork O'Connor books, I think. So, he's well thought of. I think the author
fantastic.
Is. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Jana. Let's see.
You're
let's
welcome.
See. Okay. Let's see. Allison Fallon.
Yes. Can you hear me? And I'm not breathing too heavily, am I?
We can hear you.
Okay. excuse me. I really liked this book. I really did. And I've never written. I've never read any of his books, but I really like this one. And I've heard a lot about them. But this was the first one I read, and I really liked it because I thought it showed the difficult job he had. I mean, he's trying to be factual, and all the Indians, sorry, Native Americans? Anyway, they were Indians back then. were against him. I mean, they thought he was wrong and they were picking on the Indians, and that had to be really difficult.
Yeah.
But I really liked it.
Okay. Very good. Thank you so much. Let's see. LaDon.
Yes, I thought the book was quite compelling with the interesting, clear way the author writes and with his paragraph structure and everything makes it really easy to read. I first thought that, I don't remember which one it was with the horse and fixing up his leg, and he had the drugs, right? So he was probably the guy. Then that priest didn't look so good either with his black face and down on his hands and knees, touching his head to the thing and, and crying. And he looked pretty darn bad. Bad. And then, that doctor, veterinarian, he didn't look so good either. You know, so that carries right along through the story. I don't know how you parent or parented, but there's been a murder. A child has been murdered and found. Your son's 12 years old. And you let him and two other friends go out on the lake by themselves and stay the night through, and you don't know. I couldn't have ever done that. I can't hardly imagine it.
Right.
Oh no, me either.
Yeah.
I think it was a more intimate time then.
Yeah. Yeah, 62, I think, is when it was set, right? Early 60s.
I remember in my childhood, you know, we had tree houses out by the railroad tracks. We did a lot of things that would now not be allowed. I mean, these days, there's safety ratings for everything, and kids can hardly do anything.
Right. Yeah.
In addition, I thought that judge that wouldn't give him the court order to search for evidence because he thought, forget about it. It was just an Indian. Just forget about it. That was unconscionable. However, I thought prejudice can go both ways. I don't know how big the Indian reservation was, but I suspect it was much larger than this is five or six characters that were in our book. And they were so sure that nobody of their Indians could ever do anything like that. That shows the prejudice too. He was in trouble, and there was like almost they warned him that was might be an uprising or he might be in danger. Just going and questioning some of them. So I thought prejudice go both ways, you know.
Right.
So anyway, but it was excellent book, and I didn't know it was a series until I was joined tonight. So I thought with the death of Daddy, that probably pretty well could have ended the book, and it could have been a standalone just as well. And right. I thought it was kind of an anti-climax. I mean, the book came to, you know, its exciting climax and everything with them out on the island and Cork in the water swimming for his life with bullets flashing around. So that's a hell of a climax. And then you have an anticlimax, but then you have an afterword, you know, that is disappointing. So it could have been a standalone. I didn't know about that. Anyhow, so it was a good read.
Good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Brad Snyder.
Thank you. You know, I saw the newswire you sent out, and I saw, you know, William Kent Kruger, and you described the book. And I remembered we read Ordinary Grace in here a few months back, I believe it was.
Right.
And that was quite the page turner. I had trouble putting it down. It was like we've described before. You know, it really held my interest. Start listening before bed, and the next thing I know, it's 4 a.m., you know. Don't get any sleep until I finish the book.
Yeah, exactly.
And I said, that's a good sign. You know, I've had some other books that I start listening, and I hit that sleep timer, and I don't make it to the end of the sleep timer. Right. So I saw that. So I looked it up. Plus, I saw it said this was the 18th in a series, and it said it provided a backstory, so it wouldn't ruin it for you. So I said, okay, good. There's not anything going to be missing. So I listened. It did not disappoint. I about halfway through the book, I did look up William Kent Kruger on Wikipedia, and it's the same information that Alan went over a little while ago, and I found it very interesting. You know, I find his books, just like Ordinary Grace, I've never really been to Minnesota. I mean, I went to Minneapolis once upon a time, but I've never been out in rural Minnesota. I'm not familiar with the geography. I'm not familiar with the culture. Mm-hmm. So I'm not really ignorant. I didn't really think about the fact that there's, you know, it was Indian reservation in the 60s. So it's probably still there today. I'm sure they're making money off gambling now. But anyway, I just found all that interesting. I found the story, the characters, you know, like I said, I can't put it down. I think LaDon said sentence structure. There's something about paragraph structure, something about it that makes it very easy readable. You know, my wife probably wouldn't like it. She would think it's too simple, but that's what I like, is something simple. I really enjoyed it. I did look up his, like it talked about in the Wikipedia article. I didn't spell his name right, so I didn't find all of them. But I found his first book. I looked up the title, Iron Lake. And it's one of these Bard books. It's a compilation of his first three books. So I downloaded it. I'll give myself a break. I won't go right into it because I just finished this one last week. But I really enjoyed it. The characters, I liked the, the prequel. It talked about Quark had just been elected, and they alluded to, you know, they talked about the clock tower in the courthouse. The clock stopped when he got killed. So I knew it was coming when that epilogue started.
Right.
And I thought that was, you know, the bookends, the prequel and the epilogue on the story with the story of Quark, you know, the story in the middle. So it was disappointing to know that happened, but we knew it was coming. Well, I didn't know when, but we knew it was coming.
Right.
Anyway, I feel now I could go ahead.
I said, you did, not me.
As soon as it started, and they were at Halloween, as soon as that, the guy pulled up in the police car to tell him, you got to come downtown. You know, we didn't know what had happened, but, you know, and of course the father died a hero. The deaf lady came walking out and was oblivious to what was going on. And Liam saved her. So, you know, he died a hero.
Yeah.
It was a very touching ending, I thought, too.
Yeah, it was. So anyway, you know, I'm looking forward to reading the first one, and we'll see how that one does me. Hopefully it won't disappoint. And
I think I've read Iron Lake, and I think you're going to like it. I think it was really well done.
I think it was a good book. I enjoyed it. Common theme with the father and the son. That was a common theme in both Ordinary Grace and in this book. So I'm sure that's just, you know, William Kent Kruger's style. He's good. I liked it. So thank you for picking this book. I enjoyed it.
Okay. Well, good. Thanks, Brad. Excellent comments. Let's see. Liz Lindsay.
Okay. I wish I could say something different from everybody else tonight, but I can't. I really love this book, and I think what I really liked about it is the time that it was set in and just the characters. Some of the references, like the Rexall drug, and I love the fact that the bookstore was called Novel Idea. I enjoyed the story, and as others have said, this author just is a great storyteller, and I have enjoyed the three books that I've read of his so far. And, you know, I think that I will go back and check out the Cork O'Connor, because I think it was just the relationship between he and his father was just really very, very nice. I think the thing that stands out for me is when he first told his dad that he wanted to follow, you know, these follow his instincts. I can't forget the exact words, but his dad said, well, just be careful.
Breadcrumbs.
Breadcrumbs, yeah. Follow the breadcrumbs.
Follow the crumbs.
And his dad was saying, be careful because these people are hurting and they're sad. And sometimes you get so excited about following the breadcrumbs that you hurt the people along the way. And just be careful that you don't do that. What a great bit of advice, you know? I really liked the book. Thanks for choosing it.
Excellent. Well, good. I'm glad you enjoyed it. Let's see. Marsha Moses. Still muted. Wake up, Marsha, and unmute yourself and talk.
Marsha?
Maybe she doesn't know she's muted?
Well, she would be able to hear us telling her she's muted.
She's still muted.
Marcia, she's not in the room.
Maybe she's on a phone call or something.
Okay. Well, I think I've called everybody. I'll go ahead and talk for a minute, and then maybe Marsha will unmute herself and jump in. I like this book for all the same reasons that y'all have already said. I mean, I really like the way he handles human relations. I mean, if I can get a good story that's got good human relations, dialogue, and characters,
what's going on?
Oh. Yeah,
Marsha?
Who's Zooming? I mean,
hello,
who's
am I unmuted?
That's yes.
Oh, yes. I had to jump through some hoops here. Alan. You go ahead.
Your computer's unmuted. If that was your jaw speaking, I guess.
Alan, you go ahead and
okay.
Well,
do you stay right there. Don't.
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay. All right. I really like a good story that weaves good human interrelations and human relations together. I mean, I felt like I was a fly on the wall in some of those scenes with his family and stuff. I mean, here you got the dad arguing with the mother and the mother-in-law, the grandmother in there speaking her mind and stuff. I mean, it just felt like real kind of stuff that I experienced in my own family growing up and stuff, with people, you know, expressing their opinions and arguing and living life and stuff. And he just does a real good job of weaving that kind of stuff into a good story. And I've not been disappointed with any of the stuff I've read by this author so far. And I just really like the way he writes. And I really appreciate the fact that I can't remember what that law was that was passed in the 50s where, you know, the government doing another thing to try to help, you know, to try to help itself basically and stick the Indians, Native Americans and stuff. And yeah, we're going to disperse y'all throughout the lands and stuff. And
that's all
it was. You get them from their own people and stuff, but it just, I really appreciate that he gives you a history lesson as part of a story and stuff. And just, this is very well done. And I like the time period, like somebody said, the early 60s. And then just, you know, giving us the flavor of what it was like in a small town in Minnesota and interacting with it. And one of my favorite characters, is Sam Wintermoon's hamburger, I think, or that burger they kept talking about. I want to try that. That sounded great. So, you know,
she sure did.
And I like, Henry's the wise, I guess, kind of the wise man of the Ojibwe, I guess. He's the one that's got all the advice stuff. I really liked him, the way he was worked into the storyline and stuff, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I've not been disappointed by any of the stuff I've read so far. So, okay, Marsha, your turn.
Okay, I'm glad I got things working because boy, have I got some cool things to say.
Okay,
I love this book. Liam was a wonderful father. Kathleen was a wonderful mother. I also love Dilsey, Grandma. She was not a real big fan of Liam, but I think she loved him very much, despite all the stuff that was going on between, you know, the white population. And I wish I could remember the pronunciation. And I've read all these. Okay, anyway, what they call themselves, the Ojibwe people. But the I can't get the pronunciation right. But I and Billy Downwind, he, you know, I'm sorry that well, as far as I know, he and Cork have not seen each other again. I have done a deep dive into the first three books. I'm on the third book. The books are, and I added them to my series list. Iron Lake, Boundary Water, and the third one I just started last night is
Purgatory Ridge.
Purgatory Ridge.
Yeah.
And thanks to this book, and thanks to you, Alan, I've really gotten into William Kent Kruger. And they say there are more books that I thought were before, but maybe I'm wrong. Maybe Bard got it right with the first three of the series. But and I read the other two books. What was it? Age of Grace and
Ordinary Grace.
Ordinary
Grace. And what was the other one?
This Tender Land.
This Tender Land. So I've read, I've read five of his books so far, and I will continue to keep reading. I highly recommend Mr. Kruger's books, and I've got, I think, you know, up till I think 2016 or something like that, that Bard has provided. So we'll see what happens, but, a couple more things. Two of my favorite characters other than the O'Connor family. There are two. Cork has his own family coming up in later books, and I highly recommend you guys check them out. Mm-hmm. Henry Malou and Sam Wintermoon.
Yeah.
Right.
Wonderful.
They were great.
Right.
Okay, I guess I'm done. I could keep going here, but there's no point. Thanks.
Right. And I like the way they brought the spirit of Big John Many Deeds into the thing too. Because yeah. You knew he was still hanging around until this thing was until the truth came out and stuff. And I like the way they brought that into the story. I thought that was very well done.
Oh, yeah. Yes,
but, it was.
Some people believe no one really dies until there's no one who can remember them, you know, live on. And so that's the spirit was there, whether it was just in your mind or if there was something.
It's so wonderful walking the path of souls.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And it even brought back. I remember playing with a Ouija board when I was a kid and stuff. So I
got
a
lot of taste
of that again.
Me too.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Oh my gosh! Yes. I won't do it again, but I'll admit I did it.
Yeah.
Nothing ever freaked me out doing that, but it was kind of cool, you know.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right.
It was interesting at the time until I learned more about it. But yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I was always convinced whoever I was doing it with was pushing the thing to spell out whatever they wanted to spell out, or whatever.
Absolutely.
I thought that too. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And they were
then there's always
suspicious
the character,
of you.
Then there's always the character Broomstraw. There has to be a Broomstraw in every book.
Right.
She was crazy.
I even like the scenes where Cork was trying to collect for the newspaper, and I'm thinking, that sounds kind of familiar. I mean, I can understand people stiffen him and stuff. I tell you, the paper boy.
And that bar owner, he was.
Yeah, he was a turd.
He was a turd.
Yeah. He was horrible. Yeah.
You know, but when the woman put her, said, "Come on in." the tavern and put his arm, her arm around him. And, you know, he said it was kind of uncomfortable with the way she was, but she makes sure he got paid.
Maura.
She has her ways.
What were you saying, Brad? You were trying to say
I was going to say, there was, I can't remember when it was, but there was at some point where I knew that veterinarian. I think it was when he provided the list of people that he thought would have, what was it, pentobarbital. And of course, he wasn't on it. I kept thinking, what about him? He's got the dart gun. Wait a minute. Something about him. It made me go. And before that, I wouldn't have thought anything of him. What does he have to do with any of this? But then when we went into the bar and he was in the bar, and I hadn't even put two and two together yet until they spelled it out for us that the bar owner and the veterinarian were brothers.
But
the fact that he was in the bar and had the I can't remember what the right adverb would be for his wife. But there was something about him
that says,
she was more than just, she was quite the tart, but it was just something about him that I hadn't thought about before until then. And then I went, okay.
Well, it's, you know, the way a child looks at adults is, you know, I remember going to the movies with my husband when he was student teaching and all of these kids started giggling and carrying on just because, you know, Mr. Noriega was going to the movies. And I turned to my husband and I said, what do they believe, that the teacher keeps you in the closet except you're helping in the classroom? And he says, I think they think I'm like a robot, you know, that I'm on my charger.
Adults feel that way about teachers too. I sometimes have to remind my students, don't you think I know what you're talking about?
Right. Yeah. Well,
they forget that you're human.
I remember being in elementary school. If you ran into a teacher when you were out in the real world, it's kind of like, oh yeah, they're real people too. And so,
they go to movies, they wear other clothes. Than what you see them in school. Yeah, all of that stuff. So
I remember the night that I graduated. Well, I hadn't graduated yet, but I was graduating from college. And I happened to mention that we were going to the bar that night to celebrate. And one of my professors actually showed up at the bar and hung out. And my word. I was so delighted to see him.
We hadn't really talked that much or anything,
but he was there, and it was just it was so cool.
Since you're talking about this, it's kind of strange. The same thing happened to me about 20 years ago. One of my high school teachers was out at a party, and my sister happened to be there, and he had asked how I was doing, and she told him, I'm doing really well. It's just, you know, been hard finding work and things like that. Well, him and his wife helped me find some volunteer work. And after that, we actually became friends, and I still talk to him to this day.
That's nice. My current best friend was
my high school teacher. And then we just became best friends after I graduated.
That is so
nice. Wow. That's awesome.
So everybody thinks of the vet as the guy that's so nice to their pets, you know, takes good care of them.
Yeah. And then he also turned out to be a turd.
My elementary school days are getting so far in the past to begin get dim.
That was back when you used quill pens, wasn't it?
Okay, who used to tease my parents about growing up in the dark ages.
The generational battles, they'll never end. There'll always be differences between the various generations, and we'll always take swipes at one another. So that's part of it. But anyway. Okay, any other last minute comments before I announce what we're reading next month? Well, I'm glad it seems like everybody enjoyed the book. So that makes me feel very good, because I thought it was excellent. So I might have to dust off some old Cork O'Connor and read them again, I guess, and get that get that compilation of those first three books that Brad's got and revisit, because I remember it being good. But next month, which I think we're meeting on September 20th. Does that sound right?
Yes, it's 5 weeks.
That sounds right. Yeah.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yep. We're gonna read a Nora Roberts book, because I like Nora Roberts. Awesome. She tells a good story. Oh, don't freak out that
she does.
What was that? What that, Marcia? You're not moaning, are you?
Yeah, I just said, oh boy. But that's
this
okay.
is a good book. This is a, night work. Stuff. Night work. DB, hang on a second. I'll give you the DB number. It's her latest book. It's DB108296.
Yes, I saw that in the catalog. 296.
It's excellent. It's a good story.
DB 108296.
That's it. Yeah, I've already read it.
He tells
twice.
A good story.
So yeah, so I read it from nice. Audible, and I read it again from Bard. But wow. It's,
Are the narrators the same or?
Yes, it's the commercial. Okay. It's the commercial version on Bard. Okay. And it's who's that? I don't remember who the narrator is. Hang on a second, I'll tell you.
That's okay. That's
right. Yeah. When you're done with that, can you give us a little summary?
Well, it's about a guy that it starts out the main character. What is his name? Let's see. Harry Booth, and he's like 11 years old at the beginning of the book, and it has some real good scenes with his family, with his mother and his aunt, the mother's sister, but the mother's got cancer, and so so Harry has to start stealing to get money to pay the bills and stuff. So you think, okay, well, it's gonna be hard to like a crook and stuff, but This guy is very selective in what he steals. He steals like artwork and stuff. Mm-hmm. And he turns out to be he's a really good guy. I mean, the character is really well.
Don't give us too much away.
I'm not gonna give you too much away, but it's got some really good, a lot of it's set in New Orleans, which I really like New Orleans. And it's got some other good characters that are based out of New Orleans. Mm. And the narrator does a really good job of reading the book. And I think it's like 16 and a half hours long. So y'all don't bash me for that. But I think you will really like the read. It is a really good read. It's a good story. It's got a good bad guy in it. I mean, that it's really easy not to like. And it's just, it's got some romance in it. It's got a good story with a good romance in it. And but it's good. I think y'all will like it. Come back next month and tell me what you thought about it.
So, I'm ready. 16 and a half hours. I am ready.
I think you're going to like it, man. All right. Well, thank y'all for coming, and I look forward to. I hope y'all make it to the next meeting. The next one will be Mystery Book Group on the 28th.
Right.
Read the Bone House. If you haven't read the Bone House yet, you will like it. Read the Bone House.
I just put it on my wish list, and will download it to my
download it right now.
It's really good, Marcia. I know you'll love it.
Who is it by? Who is this one by?
Brian,
which one? The Bone House or Night?
The Bone House.
Yeah,
Brian Freeman.
That's right.
Okay, I got it. Yep, I got it. Thank you so much.
Okay, well, thank you.
Hey, this has been a great get together, folks.
It has been. It's been very fun. Glad y'all could all come and keep reading. Keep reading good stuff. All right. Talk to you later.
Thanks, Alan. Bye.
Okay.
What, Joni?
Hi, everybody. I just said thanks to Alan for picking such good books.
Oh,
well, I'm glad I got lucky again. That's good. So, all right. Y'all take care. Stay safe.
Hey.
Okay.
Good night.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Give me my pencil.